All right, now I gave half of my punchline yesterday, and I'm going to finish my punchline now. Well, I don't know. Was it yesterday? Or I don't know. This last run of Taiwan specials, I've just sat here and recorded. I've been talking to you for the last hour, I suppose. Something like that. So I've got this delightful Southern accent in Mandarin, Southern Taiwan accent. And Beijing hates Southern Taiwan more than they hate America. Yes. Like, I mean, it's the pro reunification Brit. Like, imagine if there was a "we want to conquer and take over America again" political party in Britain. I don't think there is, because the British are self-important house cats. Like when they had this big massive war to keep the American colonies, but the French came in at the last minute and cut them off just because France wanted to go, you know, to Britain. But they lost that. They had War of 1812 all over again, and Andrew Jackson took 10,000 new or 2,000 new recruits and killed 6,000 British soldiers and defeated an army of 10,000 total, including the general who had broken into the White House, Ross. So, you know, like, you know, they had the War of 1812, and we kept winning against the invaders by these ridiculous odds, largely because they were redcoats that marched in these nice little easy to shoot groups, and we would just roll around on the ground like Napoleon's army did. So, like, we're like, we don't care about this form and proper marching. Screw that. You know, be nice to people or we'll just kill you whatever way we can. And so all those rules of engagement, we didn't follow those. We were the Americans. And so that was one reason, arguably, why we conquered the British. But God also helped us, you could say. The hurricane and the tornado that went to Washington, D.C., after Ross had marched on Washington, D.C. in the War of 1812. The War of 1812 was kind of the follow-up smack back after we won our revolution. 30 years later, new generation, untrained militia. So we are like our military, our local military force had to relearn itself and rediscover itself all over again. Andrew Jackson got another generation older, and then he became president. But he had his large beginnings, and he got his political bent. I mean, Andrew Jackson was kind of a William Wallace character in a sense. You know, Wallace wanted to be a priest. Life and politics happened. He wasn't able to do what he wanted, so he got mad and got into political activism, a.k.a. the Scottish Revolution. And so, or whatever it was called in England. So that, you know, Jackson had a similar story, the War of 1812. I mean, England had the War of 1812 because some company wanted a bank franchise. They really wanted it. This bank really, really, really wanted it. It was lobbying and it was pushing for stuff. And the bank was the big lobbying company in England. And the bank really wanted its contract with the Federal Reserve or whatever it was called at the time. The Federal Reserve is not American. It's this other thing. It's private. And we outsource that. Our money is outsourced. It's not American. It's like a headhunting company for human resources. That's our Americans' money. So this bank wanted that contract, and America wouldn't let him. So that's the War of 1812 was this government special interest group lobbyist coercion thing to try to punish America for not giving the lobbyists what they wanted. Well, Jackson knew about this, so he ran. You know, a generation later. He ran on the campaign Jackson and no bank. That's what that was. So he became president and ended the bank contract. After War of 1812, they got their bank contract. Jackson went in and he drained the swamp, namely to get the bank out. That was the swamp, the political special interest thing of the day. Okay. Well, imagine 200 years later, After you know, Jackson's era, here we are today, War of 1812. Here we are, 2018-19. So this is 200 years after Jackson's, you know, getting involved in his political activism, discovering himself. Later, he'll run for president. Here we are. Imagine if today in Britain there was a political movement to reclaim the United States as a British Commonwealth. Just imagine if that were there. The British are good chaps, and they would just, you know, when they lost those wars, they were like, oh, I mean, the history books in Britain today, oh, yeah, we had some colonies or something, and I think we lost them or, you know, whatever. And it's like, oh, my alarm's going off. No, I've actually, I've got to go talk to Dan. On my YouTube channel, you may remember Dan, I think it was Avenue Guru. You may remember Dan, the guy I was yelling at on YouTube. Zach, I put it on your Facebook. I was yelling at Dan, and now Dan wants me to go talk to him a lot. So that's my alarm to go talk to Dan. It's okay. It's not for a few hours, but good. So, you know, the British are kind of like house cats. Like, they think they own the whole place, and they just regard the whole world that they can't control as boring or uninteresting. And they never figure it out that they don't have any of the power they think they do. None at all. Humans feed the cat not because the cat compels them to, but because the cat's just too adorable to let die. So, you know, that's kind of Britain in a lot of ways. So I don't think the British would ever genuinely try to reclaim America. They know that they can't. They would make up some story about how the topic is boring or whatever. They'd act like a house cat. China? I mean, Beijing genuinely believes it can reclaim Taiwan. Like, they actually believe that. Like, it's culture-wide mass madness. It goes back to that shame personality disorder consortium that I described early on in the Taiwan special. And, you know, it's interesting. When I started the Taiwan special, there was a lot of stuff I just had to get off my chest. A lot of background stuff. So you can go back and listen to some of those early episodes. A lot of them were on YouTube. There was some YouTube stuff going on with that. That was before I made this audio only. You don't get these on YouTube anymore. Now I have different content on YouTube. So if you want to follow, if you want to know what's on YouTube, you got to go follow that. Well, imagine if there was, it'd be insane, but imagine if there was a pro reunification movement in Great Britain trying to reclaim the United States. And then imagine, now, Andrew Jackson fought against the British, and he was around in New Orleans. So imagine if some Texan Southern cowboy encountered some snooty nose in the air Brit who grew up in Manchester and was a politician in London. And imagine if this British pro reunification, let's retake over America, whatever guy, met this guy from Texas. You think you can come over here and take over our country? You can have my country when you pry it from my cold dead fingers. You know, just imagine how that would go over. The accent itself would be enough to cause a hernia for that British guy. Just the accent itself. Will I have a Southern accent in Mandarin? And I can pronounce the quote-unquote correct Taipei Mandarin pretty accurately if I want to. I was very conscious about learning that accent, and I know Southern accent when I'm speaking it. And I slip into it kind of automatically. But I do get the Taipei accent. I do get that. It's very refreshing. I feel like I'm going to Chicago from Michigan when I go to Taipei. Very down-to-earth, nice people. Little level up from Grand Rapids, if we were talking Michigan. But see, I'm planning. The reason I'm in Taiwan is because I want to go into politics. And when I go into politics and I meet heads of state or other, you know, representatives from China, I'm going to have I'm going to speak in Mandarin myself. I might have a translator there to help me, but I will do my own talking to the Chinese when I am in politics to whatever capacity I have. And when I do, I'm going to have the most irritating accent in the world to their ears. And it's going to unnerve and get under their skin. They could end up with the hernia. And there is something else that I might say about this. Now, rather than going to another episode, I'm going to say it here. I know that when I have my conversation with people in the Chinese government in my Southern Taiwan accent, I know, this is the punchline of the last few weeks, I know that they're going to try to correct my incorrect pronunciation. They're not going to say, oh, Jesse has a Southern accent. They're not going to see that. They're too ignorant. Now, that sounds like a large assertion. But follow this. China thinks it can retake Taiwan. And they're not focused on becoming a strong country at home. It's like Rob Stark, who went to war and left the North abandoned. And that's when it got taken over by the pirates. Now, China's not, their military priorities are off base. They've always been strong on land, but they've never been strong on sea, and they're putting all their eggs in the sea basket. And they're headed, and the United States Navy is strong. There are reasons why the United States Navy is strong that maybe are politically incorrect to talk about. But United States Navy is pretty much indefeatable this decade. And China wants to go up against it. Bad idea. So this is the new kids. This is the 14-year-old trying to drive the semi-truck. It's not going to happen, dude. You might be skilled. You might have potential. You might be able to be a prodigy. You can go to trucking school early, but you're not going to drive a semi-truck without trucking school. Not going to happen. But Beijing is trying, and they don't know their own limits. That's what's going on here. They're the pussy. They're the house cat. The British are the house cat that knows that they can't eat the owners, the people inside. So they make up some story about how it's boring. The British are different from the Chinese. The Chinese, they're the house cat that actually tries to eat the humans and gets itself killed. That's what we're dealing with. They don't know where they sit. They genuinely don't know. They don't get it. It's like, I'm not just trying to say this to sound mean and disrespectful. Militarily, I mean, it's like Tywin Lannister said, he's a kid who's never lost a battle. You know, he's able to be defeated, but he doesn't know it. So he's going to be dangerous up until that point. And the only thing he'll get is utter defeat. Like, this is dangerous from a military perspective against China. We've got to know what we're dealing with here. Once China loses or has to tap out to the United States Navy, they might start throwing conniptions. It's going to be an interesting surrender. They might even be wiggling and squirming at the signing. Like, when that comes. Even the Japanese knew they were defeated. I don't know if the Chinese, even when they sign the surrender papers, at least to that particular conflict, not to the country, but the conflict, I don't think that China will. And I do believe this is coming. And I'm saying in Taiwan anyway. I think we're headed towards all kinds of crazy stuff. But China genuinely believes that they're going to be able to retake Taiwan and go up against the United States. The United States would not have it. Taiwan is the 51st territory. Well, 52nd if we had Puerto Rico. But if Puerto Rico ever becomes a state, Taiwan could be in line. There is a movement in Taiwan to have Taiwan become a state. There is a movement. And if the United States proposed to Taiwan, hey, let's let Taiwan become a state, the Taiwanese might do referendum overnight in favor. Just saying. I don't know that I'd advocate that. I don't know that I would advocate for that. But just saying. If I were to have a conversation with a Beijinger and they heard my ultra irritating Southern Taiwan accent, they would not recognize it as just another accent. They would think that it is wrong and they would try to educate me, not retrain my accent. They would try to educate me from my incorrect ignorance. Wrong perspective on their part. I'm going to talk about that a little bit more next time, but that's been my punchline.